Professor Peter Lynham. Oh,
Peter Lynham.
Yes, Dad. So how's it going?
It's good.
It's good. As apart from the, it's raining, and you know, as a human being, it pays to just mention that from time to time.
Yes, quite. That's your job. So, have you had a knock on the door from anybody trying to convert you to a religion?
No,
recently?
Not for a while. Not. I mean, I'm not home during the day because I'm at work, but
on
the weekend, no, haven't had any visits from anyone trying to convert me to any particular religions for a while now, Peter.
Yes, and so something is going on, and the key thing is that the groups that mostly do it are the Latter-day Saints and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and both groups seem to have gone into cautious mode. In particular, we know that Jehovah's Witnesses have been ordered internationally that it's not safe to go door knocking at the moment, and you can go online and request a visit from the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is probably not quite the same sort of appeal.
This is all thanks to COVID-19, of course.
Can I suggest a visit? Like, can
yes,
I?
Yes, you can.
Can I nominate someone else?
For somebody else?
Yeah.
Well, I'm
prankle,
gonna, I
think, the ultimate prankle.
I think you probably could.
Oh, yes. I think this person is really in need, and I think that your religion will be meant for them.
Well, it's an interesting question, because Jehovah's Witnesses, they would fall for that bait, I'm quite sure.
Right. There could be a good TikTok here, you know, like, you've been Jehovah'd, someone Jehovah'd you, classic kind of thing.
Yes. They keep a fairly tight register of where they've door knocked before. It's a sort of a card file index, I think, that enables them to track down, have we been here, what response did we get last time? And I fear that for people from the student or youth world, they tend to avoid. I was very interested, you know, so you'd be marked on a schedule, not worth it. Wasting my time.
And that makes it a bit more efficient. I did wonder if there was any system there. I've also kind of wondered if, you know, what their hit rate is, and because it must be successful on some level. They are legendary for it, and people know all about, you know, the situation.
Yes, indeed. And that was, I've been trying to work this out. It doesn't help that the 2018 census, you know, massively distorted most religions by saying that everybody gave the true answer on their census, which of course they didn't.
Get up.
And so, you know, normally there's about 10 or 15% of people who won't go near that question about religion.
Mm.
So we've got their own data, and the Jehovah's Witnesses in New Zealand. It's quite interesting, because I've been digging around on this afternoon, and I found that altogether the Jehovah's Witnesses say they've got 23,000 people attending their services. In terms of the census, it was a bit lower than that. They're not much lower, sitting around 17,900, which is where I must say it's been for the last 15 years. So it's not a spectacularly growing group. It is growing among Māori, and I think that's quite interesting.
What's the flavour there that is attracting the Māori population?
It's hard to be sure, but I think typically Jehovah's Witnesses, they're strongly females, and I've got an age breakdown from the census, which shows that, like everybody else, they're getting older. But they've always had a fairly solid following from, this is perhaps a bit harsh, but middle-aged women of relatively respectable, probably.
Okay.
So it's not unusual for with women to arrive with their children in tow as they door knock on the weekends. And I think I was very struck by the figures of men and women, that it's a massive imbalance of 8,000 men and 11,000 women. So that's a big disproportion, isn't it? And I think that what's going on is that the appeal of Jehovah's Witnesses is certainty and faith in a world of disaster. I mean, they are apocalyptically minded by their very nature. Mm-hmm. They're expecting the end of the world. They've had various attempts at dating it, starting in 1918.
Have we got any upcoming now?
Or? Do you think this COVID situation has fired that up?
It ought
the whole
to
end of the world vibe is sort
but,
of
but
ramped
it's,
up.
I'd have to say that their normal web page is extremely unapocalyptic, very matter of fact, and etc. etc. But you see, in 1975, they were very fired up that the end of the world was about to end then, and there've been I think at least one recalculation since then. It's always quite a tricky business recalculating the end of the world, because you have to acknowledge that, and you can't acknowledge that you got it wrong the previous time.
True.
So Jehovah's Witnesses, I think, represent, well, New Zealand is becoming browner, you know, as a society where we've got far more Maori and Pacifica people as a proportion of the population. So it's not surprising that Jehovah's Witnesses are showing those trends. They tend to be, you know, a lot of the followers are relatively poor. They've often, women, here's a generalization, but there were census materials quite a long time ago which showed there was a higher level of divorcees and people who had separated from their husbands in the Jehovah's Witnesses. So it did lead me to wonder if the typical Jehovah's Witness is seeking refuge from, you know, a difficult world,
community,
a harsh world.
Yeah.
But they're imbued with a determination to survive. So, I mean, in 1940, this is the one and only religious body that has ever been banned in New Zealand. And in 1940, it became illegal to be a Jehovah's Witness.
On what grounds?
The grounds were that in Oamaru, of all places, there had been trouble, which was blamed on Jehovah's Witnesses. Probably it was more blamed on those who didn't believe what the Jehovah's Witnesses were saying to them. And the result was that they were given a formal ban, which was not lifted until 1944. It was, of course, they carried on, but they couldn't very easily publicly meet. But the police weren't very willing to prosecute people. It seemed like they had more important things on their plate. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses were conscientious objectors, because they reject any loyalty to this world, because they're expecting very shortly to be transferred into the world to come. They believe that the number that's saved is already fixed in heaven. It's kind of too late to join in some ways.
Yeah, what's max capacity?
So they're not too fussed about converting people via via letters?
Well, the converts get placed on a waiting list, if you see what I mean. Jehovah's Witnesses are also very, very morally interfering with people's lives. And there have been a number of cases before the courts where they've been extraordinarily heavy-handed, usually in favour of men at the expense of women, very typically, of course.
What do you mean? What sort of activities have they been doing?
Oh, boy sleeps with girl, girl gets pregnant, girl gets expelled, boy does not.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. So that's pretty standard in the way they operate. And they seem to be in the parts of New Zealand where they're strongest, seem to be mostly in the rural areas. They don't do particularly well in cities.
Right. We've had an interesting text here, somebody saying they were expecting the world to end in 1970, and this person was 15 then and didn't expect to make it to 21. Yeah. Then they were one of the children that was dragged door to door. Thanks for texting in.
I mean, you think of the experience of that. A, it would leave you somewhat traumatized, and B, it'd leave you pretty skeptical.
It would definitely help in some kind of meeting people and talking to people skill, though, if you're a kid, like.
That's true.
You know, like outward.
And it's often been thought that, you know, organizations like Amway and those door-to-door
get people out of the house
have some sort of alliance with the Latter-day Saints.
And really? What about this, you know? What about the people that just can't wait for the door to get knocked on? You know, like people that are just hella lonely.
Well, you can go to a local witness hall. There's one just off Ponsonby Road beside Western Park, for example. And the people who become members there, they used to be called publishers because they publish abroad the gospel of salvation. I'm afraid they've now got a much less glamorous name of just witnesses to the truth, or ministers of the word, I think is the phrase.
Okay.
They're quite interesting comparing them with the Latter-day Saints, who are very, very much larger, but that's because the Latter-day Saints has got this enormous Maori and Pacifica enrollment, and because there's a lot of social activities that Latter-day Saints are quite keen on, so that, you know, basketball courts and the like, and the regular injection of American missionaries, whereas I'm afraid that the Jehovah's Witness missionaries are rather more down-to-earth Kiwis.
Well, it's funny you say that as well, because that same 15-year-old was just texted back saying they didn't think they had a future, so they've just been surfing for the next 20 years after that.
I think that would be very understandable. You know, survivors of apocalypses. I mean, what sense do you make of it? This is the Stockholm Syndrome in a way, where you're living with the expectation of the end of the world.
Yeah.
And so, in the end...
And imagine if you're a teenager going through that, that's just extra teenage vibes that you don't need to be going through.
You've got enough challenges without having the end of the world to deal with.
Yeah, well, you already think it's the end of the world, every little thing that happens, you know?
Yeah, precisely. And it's... Of course, I mean, the other factors are that for teenagers... More and more, there's potential for entertainment online and things like that, that just make dreary meetings. And you know, the judgments is they're not exactly jazzed up meetings. there's a good deal of regulation, but they don't have the magic underpants of the Latter-day Saints. But they certainly view ostentation in registry as absolutely unacceptable.
Right on.
So I
reckon if it's basically COVID, they're like, look, we can't knock on doors anymore, that's crazy. Is it a worldwide initiative, or is this just...
Yes, well, the thing about religions like Jehovah's is that everything does come from the USA.
Right.
And so everything is in canonized.
Interesting.
And as a result, the Americans... haven't heard of just the Mormons, on the other hand, had heard of Jacinda because she was one of them, from my point of view.
Hey, Peter, just before we wrap things up, we've had another text come in, which is very interesting. Someone has said, when I was 12, my best friend was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And her family brainwashed me into being baptized behind my parents' back as a JH. My parents were horrified when they found out.
Oh, yes, you did what on the weekends? Like, it's like a whole different type of tattoo, eh? Like,
and soul tattoo. That's got Jehovah's Witnesses into trouble. And now
we got another one, and they get like a free cup of cookies or something. Like, man, someone's just got heaps of cookies. It just becomes a game.
But I think that probably a mighty lot of recruitments of Jehovah's Witnesses are people who are young and feeling a bit of the loose end.
That's
the
every religion.
Around. But the dropout rates of Jehovah's Witnesses. The figures would suggest that they lose at almost the rate at which they gain.
Okay.
That's why they make little progress overall.
Okay, well, I think I'm glad they're not knocking on doors anymore. It's a good call. And I do appreciate you taking the time to chat about it. Always, Peter Lynham. We'll catch you next Monday, Matt.
Look forward to it.